Today is usually regarded as the most well-attended Sunday for those who are Bible-believing people. If you look at the news, you find that there are even some religious groups today that are offering what are called Easter baptisms. Easter is, of course, a day when people think about Jesus and his resurrection from the dead. If you go back and you look at the history of this particular day, you find that it is a very old custom, or it is a very old tradition, but it's not old enough to go back to the beginning of the first century church. It came after Christianity was established. What people have connected with Easter, however, is found in the Bible. In all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we have some information about Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all say that Jesus was raised from the dead. After the resurrection and after people became aware of what happened, Christians began to preach it, as well as the consequences of the resurrection. One of the things that the world has associated with Easter over the years is baptism. Many have looked at Easter and said, this is the time. Easter is the day on which I want to be baptized. Well, as human beings, certain dates certainly can be important to us. When a couple gets married, typically as the years go by, they will pay some attention to that anniversary date. If a person enters the military, they may remember the day, or the month, or most certainly the year when they enlisted. Most mothers remember the details about when their children were born. Dates are often very important to us, but they are not relevant in the case of baptism. In the book of Acts, we have a lot of information as to how Christianity works. We see in the book of Acts, and that's where we're going to start this morning, Acts chapter 2, we see how Christians worshiped. We have information on how Christians acted in the world, how they served one another, and how they preached the gospel. We also have scattered throughout the book of Acts some information about people and their being baptized. Well, God put these examples in his word to tell us how to do things in our day and time. If we therefore look at these examples and we find that people waited until a specific day or a certain time to be baptized, then that's our example for today. If on the other hand, we look at the Bible, specifically the book of Acts, and we find examples of people who became Christians, but they did not wait for a specific day and time, then God is telling us through those examples that we ought not to wait today. Well, as we said, our study begins with Acts chapter 2. This is what's been called the first gospel sermon. Acts 2 verse 1 gives us a time frame. If you were to begin at the start of this chapter, it says it was the day of Pentecost. Well, as you look at the information we have in the scriptures, you find that the day of Pentecost was a couple of months after Jesus' resurrection. It was not the Easter that many are celebrating today. Neither was the day of Pentecost in Acts 2 a Christian holiday. This particular day was a Jewish holiday. It pointed back to the experience of Israel while in Egyptian bondage. On this day, on this occasion, some preaching was done. We want to start with the information that's in Acts 2, verse 29, and read down to what's said in verse 36. Brethren, I may say unto you freely of the patriarch David, that he both died and he was buried, and his tomb is with us unto this day. Being therefore a prophet of God, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins he would set one upon his throne. He, foreseeing this, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that neither was he left unto Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus did God raise up, whereof we are all witnesses, being therefore by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, which he hath poured forth, this which ye see and hear. For David ascended not into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou in my right hand, till I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet. Let all the house of Israel therefore know assuredly that God hath made both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom ye crucified. Notice the thrust of Peter's argument. Jesus died, and he died by crucifixion. After death, Jesus had been buried. Peter also knew and affirmed on this day that Jesus had been raised from the dead. All of Jerusalem was buzzing with news of the resurrection. Jesus was not only alive. Peter said to these people, I want you to know. Have full assurance in the fact that Jesus has been made both Lord and Christ, the Messiah who reigns over all. Well, when the people understood this information, they were frightened. Verse 37 says, now when they heard this, those basic remarks that we mentioned earlier, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? Well, Peter gave them an answer in verse 38. He said to these believers, you need to repent and you need to be baptized. Now, Peter could have said, I want you to wait until a special day comes. And when this special date arrives, then you can be baptized. You do not need to be baptized until the right time comes. But Peter did not say anything akin to that. He said that baptism is for the forgiveness or the remission of sins. In other words, if a person has not been correctly baptized, they have not had their sins forgiven by God. We cannot be a Christian until we've been baptized. Thus, these people did not wait to be baptized. Continuing with Acts 2, but now looking at the information in verse 41. They then that received his word were baptized, and there were added unto them in that day about 3,000 souls. Notice carefully from that 41st verse, Luke says, in that day. The very day that they heard was the very day that they were baptized. This single example stands in contrast to many teachers in our modern religious world. Preachers have said to people, well, you wait, you delay, and you can be baptized on a special day. I've even seen cases, and maybe you have as well, where preachers have said to people, well, wait and be baptized in a different country. Let's go to Jerusalem, let's be in the land of Israel, and you can be baptized in the Jordan River. That's not the kind of preaching that was done in the second chapter of Acts or anywhere else as we look at the scriptures. God's evangelists encouraged people to obey the very day they heard the gospel of Christ. Now someone says, well, yes, that's what we find in Acts 2. But we're not persuaded that that is always the way it worked. Maybe there's some other examples in the Bible where things went a little differently. Well, that's true. We've not read all the examples. So let's check out some other places. Our next text comes from a few pages later. Same book, the book of Acts, Acts chapter 8. You may remember that in Acts 8 there was a man by the name of Philip. He went to the area of Samaria and began to preach. One of the fellows that he met in Samaria was a man named Simon. Simon was a magician. He was involved with trickery. He deceived people. Simon had been involved with deceiving some folks. But when Philip came to town, he knew that Philip had both power and truth. Thus we find in Acts 8:13 that Simon believed and was baptized. Notice how those two things go together. Belief and baptism are presented together because they're two acts that go together. It was not, well, we believe this day and then at some future time we will be baptized. Such was also true for the Samaritans who believed the gospel. Verse 12 of Acts 8. But when they believed Philip's preaching concerning good tidings about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Notice how verse 12 is constructed. When they believed, then they were baptized. When and then go together. Throughout the book of Acts, we see belief and baptism joined together time and time again. People did not wait after they learned what was right to be baptized because they knew what baptism does. They realized that it is for the forgiveness of sins. In another case, Acts chapter 16. Verses 25 to 33, we find that a man in his household learned about the gospel of Christ late at night. Luke specifically says in his account that this man and the others who were immersed were baptized about midnight. Rather than wait for a special day, baptism was done immediately after those individuals believed. A person says, well, we understand that, but we're not sure really why that's the case. Well, Jesus gave us the answer, and he provided that information in Mark 16, verse 16. He said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Well, there's not much of a time gap. You can't insert a whole lot of time in between the first part of verse 16 and the middle part. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Two actions in a single verse. And in the book of Acts, we find that these two activities did follow one right after another. If we've been thinking that, well, someday we need to be baptized, or we're going to wait for a special day, or we're going to wait for this particular thing to be immersed, God tells us not to wait. It's very possible that that special day, that unique time, that distinctive period may not come. Many have been told that they could be baptized at the next service. But for some, that next service never arrived. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 6, verses 1 and 2, that today is the day of salvation. Now is the time to become a Christian. Baptism is not an act that should be delayed when people are guilty of sin and they know what to do. When we think about Easter and baptism, another point comes to mind. That, of course, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Many want to be baptized because they know that Jesus is no longer in the grave. Now, that's a great thought. But sometimes when people have that thought or when that information is expressed or conveyed to them, they do not fully realize what it means. In the Bible, we're told that our baptism and Christ's resurrection go hand in hand. Most know that Jesus died. But not all are aware, perhaps, of the fact that if we want to become a child of God, we also must die. God says we cannot live. God says we cannot have spiritual life. We cannot have heaven as our home unless we die. Someone says, now, what do you mean by that? If you mean die while we're still alive, that doesn't make much sense. How can I die so that I might live on the earth? Well, when the Bible refers to that, it is providing us with a paradox. A paradox is a statement that seems to be contradictory, but it actually expresses a great truth. When the Bible says die to live, it does not mean a literal death. It rather means that there is death, there is a putting away of a particular kind of life. Sometimes as we listen to people talk, or maybe in our own lives, if we're listening to someone else, they may say, well, I was once involved with certain activities. I used to jog, I used to ski, or I used to hunt, or there is some other activity that they list. And then the person says to us, or we may say to someone, I no longer do those things. Well, why is that the case? Well, those activities that I listed are not sinful. It's not that they're wrong, but perhaps a person's health no longer allows him to hunt or jog or ski or do some other things. Or maybe the hobby became too expensive. Or a person, because of a work schedule, may say, my time will no longer allow me or no longer permit me to do these things. Well, much of the information that we have in the Bible is related to the subject of sin. God says that if we want to go to the place where he is, if we want heaven, we must decide against sin. We must, at some point in our life, make a conscious decision to choose God's will over the devil's will. The basic Bible word for that concept and action is repentance. When we repent, we die to the old way of life. We say that we're not going to live in this way any longer. Colossians 2, verse 13, says that there are sins, there are trespasses, there are activities that are wrong in the sight of God. And those activities, when we engage in them, they make us dead. They rob a person of their spiritual life to get that life back. And we have that life for a while when we're born into the world, when we're a child, we're in a right relationship with God. But when we become old enough to know right from wrong and we sin, we're guilty of transgression. That ruins our relationship with God, and that relationship needs to be restored. Well, God says to restore that relationship, we need to go to that closet of sin, and we need to start taking those things out. We need to say that there's some choices that we have made that are wrong, and we're going to start making the choices that are right. I want to turn to the book of Galatians. There are three passages that I want to use. The first one we'll simply cite. It's Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It's a passage that a lot of people are very familiar with, and then we'll read from Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24. In Galatians 2:20, we have Paul saying that he was crucified with Christ. What does he mean by that expression? I've been crucified with Christ. It means that he was saying no to sin. It's the same theme that Paul tried to develop in Romans chapter 6, the place where he described repentance. Jesus died a literal death. And Paul says in a number of places that if we want to become a child of God, we've also got to die. We've got to die to sin. We work at turning our back on sin. In other words, if we're going to come to God, that requires some work on our part. It means that we will need to undergo some huge changes. He not only said that in, as we said, Galatians 2:20, being crucified with Christ, but he says this in 5:24. And they that are of Christ, Jesus, have crucified the flesh with the passions and the lusts thereof. Now, this little book has only six chapters. We have the information in 2:20 where Paul spoke about death to sin. There's the information in 5:24, the verse just read, but notice how he picks up this theme once again in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. But far be it from me to glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world, that is sin, has been crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Three times in a small book, Paul says, I have died to sin. To become a Christian, to be a servant of God, I've had to make this decision. The book of Galatians is not the only place where we find this information. He told it to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. There Paul said, you need to put away your manner of life. There's some things that you need to get rid of. And he listed several sins. When he wrote to the Colossians in Colossians 3, 5, he provided similar material. He said, you need to put to death your members which are upon the earth. And then he lists a large number of sins. A person cannot be properly baptized until they repent, until they decide that I'm going to crucify the world and the flesh, the lust thereof. I need to leave those things behind. Even Peter taught that in the reference that we studied from Acts chapter 2. He said you need to repent. After a person is willing to do that, then they're in a position to be baptized. As noted earlier, baptism is something that needs to be done as quickly as possible. It's important, it's essential, because it is associated with Jesus' resurrection. Consider, if you will, for a moment this point. It is hard to raise someone up unless that person is first down. Jesus could not have been raised from the dead if he were not dead. He had to die. Baptism in Romans 6, verses 1 through 4, is said to mimic Jesus' experience. If we therefore sprinkle water on a person's head, that does not correspond with the Lord's resurrection. If we pour some water on a person's head, and that's what some do, we cannot replicate the resurrection. But if a person is dipped, if a person is immersed, if a person is plunged underneath the water, and then they're raised, that does mimic, that does correspond to Jesus' resurrection. Jesus went down into a tomb. And the Bible says that if we want to be properly baptized, we've got to go down into the water. In fact, Acts chapter 8 actually uses that expression. They both went into the water. They went down into the water. Jesus came out of a tomb, and a person comes out of the watery grave of baptism. That's why in Romans 6 verse 4, Paul says that we are buried with Christ by, in, or through baptism. That same verse, Romans 6 4, says that we are raised with Christ. Baptism is a burial. Well, if we sprinkle, we've not buried someone in baptism. If we pour water on someone, we've not buried them in baptism. Immersion, a dipping, a submerging, however, is a burial. And that's the way that God requires baptism to be done. When we go down into the water, Romans 6, 4 says we're raised up. There's that parallel to Jesus' resurrection. Our being raised up is just like Christ coming out of the tomb. A lot of people today are celebrating Easter as a religious holiday. And they're going to have a good day. But the sad part of that information is there are a lot of people who have never heard a preacher preach the truth about baptism. It's sad to say, but there are a lot of folks who do not realize that a baptism on Easter is just as good as a baptism next week or 6 months from now. A lot of people do not realize that the Bible teaches that being baptized in this place is just as good, it's just as effectual as being baptized over here. Many others have never been told that unless they first repent, they're going to be lost. They're going to perish. Jesus said that in Luke 13:3. Many have never heard and will go into eternity, not realizing that sprinkling is not New Testament baptism. Others will have been baptized, quote unquote, by pouring and face God without understanding that what they went through was not Bible baptism. Some never understand that baptism is a dipping, and after that process, and only after that process, sins are forgiven. Acts 2, verse 38. But we do know that if a person really loves Christ, they want to obey the Lord, they will experience what Paul describes in Romans 6, verses 1 through 5. With that belief, they will say no to sin. They'll say, we want to crucify the world to ourselves. Not going to be perfect, but we want to live in the best way that we can. We want to be baptized into Christ so we can pick up the benefits of Jesus' death. And then as Jesus was raised from the dead, we also want to come out of that watery grave of baptism, and as Romans 6, 4 says, we want to have that newness of life, the forgiveness of our sins. Do we have that new life in Christ? Have we decided to believe? Have we decided to repent? Have we acknowledged that Christ is the only one who can save us, and we've been baptized into his spiritual body, the church, for the forgiveness of our sins? If we have, we can thank God for that, and we can continue to live as a faithful Christian. But if we've not yet taken those basic steps, only a couple of things stand between us and an eternity with God. This morning, if you know what to do, but you've never been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, will you not take the chance that you have now? We hope that you will. We believe that you want to do what's right. If you need to study the matter more, we'd certainly be glad to do that with you. But if you know what to do, and for some reason you've been delaying, will you let us help you do that as we stand and encourage you with a selected song?